That's cool. It's not my script. I should just carry around a soundtrack wherever I go. Good morning, everybody, to those online and those here. We start this morning with a couple of TV shows. Anyone watch the Undercover Boss TV show? Right? It was like, for those of you who didn't know, there's like a CEO, a big company, usually someone powerful, wealthy, whatever, and she or he would take the lowest job in their company, and they'd be undercover, and so they'd be working alongside their employees. And it was always funny watching these employees trying to teach their undercover boss, their undercover CEO, how to do the most basic of things. And it was just kind of this weird juxtaposition of not expecting the CEO to know how to like flip a burger or something, right? Compare that to one of my other favorite TV shows is The West Wing. And there's a scene, there's a flashback scene where the candidate has just won the election for the presidency. And it's that night. And it's also the same night that his deputy chief of staff finds out that he lost his dad, that his dad died that very night. And so what should be a night of celebration, what should be a night of parties and speeches, the deputy chief of staff is in the airport and he's waiting to go home. And then he kind of notices that there's a Secret Service agent over there and an agent over there, and he kind of looking around and everyone's kind of emptying out. And sure enough, the president-elect takes a seat next to him and starts counseling him and talking to him. And in a gesture of sincerity, I mean, the TV show displays it like it's not like a meaningless gesture. The president starts patting down his pockets like, I'm going to get a ticket. I'm going to fly with you. I'm going to do this with you. I'm going to be with her. And the candidate's like, hey, you have other things to do. You have to give a speech. You've got to do these things. There's this weird combination of people that we don't expect doing ordinary, mundane things. Think about a celebrity, athlete, musician, global figure, political figure, tech figure, someone, celebrity. Now think about them in your home, helping you do your laundry. Or as you're cleaning your bathroom, you see another hand reach over and it's them. And they're helping you do this ordinary, mundane thing. I've spent the last 2 weeks meditating on this passage that we're all so familiar with. And yet it's this weird mix of the everyday and the supernatural and doing something in the middle, and it just, the more I thought about it, the more it just kind of blew my mind. And I'm going to try to give you a taste of what that's like today. So we're in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read out of the NIV, but we're starting with verse 8. And it's this great history that we know. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Shepherds living out in the field. And I think here we can just take shepherds to mean Joe or Jane, everybody, right? This is just a normal job. This was not like a, not the most humble of jobs, but, you know, not that much better than that. Certainly not a CEO. They're just an everyday person. And they're out there living in the fields for months at a time with their sheep. So imagine this scene. You are on this grassy plain. You got a bunch of sheep over there, maybe snoring because it's at night. You've got a fire going here to keep you warm. It's a clear night. And you've got a couple friends sleeping over there because it's the night watch and they're on the day watch. And I don't actually know that this is how first century shepherding works. I'm just making this up. But I assume the guy's sleeping over there because someone's got to be awake during the day, because you have to be awake at night to watch over the sheep in case predators come. And so you've got something warm in your hands to drink, and maybe there's conversation with your partner, or maybe you're just the kind of people who are salt of the earth. You just like to sit and stare at the stars in silence together. And then all of a sudden, verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The more you think about this passage, the weirder it gets. Like, hey, I love technology. I love being on the edge. I regret that we're not 200 years in the future right now where there's even better tech going. But there is a true, I don't know, like when I'm in heaven with Jesus, like I'm going to spend the first year just reviewing all the scenes from the Bible that I want to see, because I want to see this thing. I want to see how this happened. And you got these guys sitting here holding their warm Jewish tea, whatever it is, and it's a clear night, and then I guess there's like a star that keeps getting a little brighter or something, and it's like, is that thing coming toward us? And it comes, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and is that how that happened? Is it like a star just kind of, or was it like more of like the Star Trek thing where like, you know, the transporter like, and just kind of faded into existence and boom, there was like, was there a sound that went with it? Like, scripture is annoyingly silent. Like the details don't matter and they don't really, but I just find it amazing to think about this really happened. There really were a couple guys and then all of a sudden a celestial being appeared. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Like, think back to your children's Bible, for those of you who were raised inside the church, and you see pictures of angels, what do they look like? They look like human beings, right, with wings. That doesn't have to be true. There are other depictions of angels in Scripture that are clearly not humanoid. I have no idea what that angel looked like. There's a celestial being, and they were terrified by whatever had happened, and this thing pops into existence, and then it starts to speak to them. I mean, it wasn't in English, but for the sake, you know. So, and it starts to speak to them in English. We are too familiar with this passage. We are too casual with the divine in our everyday. We have all of these myths and fables and Santa that we understand, and it's so tempting to put this in that category. But this really did happen. There really were a couple of guys. They really did have names. They really did have clothes. They had families. They really were in a field. There really were a number of sheep. And there really was this incredibly scary celestial being that just pops into existence. Verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Anybody sci-fi or fantasy, you read, you watch sci-fi or fantasy, just nod at the camera if you're like at home. I looked. There is not, in all of science fiction, in all of fantasy ever created, there is no storyline where an alien comes to Earth with a message and speaks about a baby. Think about that. A giant celestial, scary, and then he says, not in a way that matches that weird mystery of divineness, but in a very particular way, says, today, right now, over there, in that town, a Savior has been born. And in fact, he's lying in a manger and he's wrapped in cloths. There's a celestial being talking about a singular baby in a singular point in time. This isn't a message like all my favorite science fiction movies of like Terminators come in or like, this not like, hey, you're destroying the earth. This is, it's just weird. You tell this story to anyone who hasn't heard it yet and you watch the look on their face. And that will put us back into the place of what is going on. Verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God. I love how scripture says in a single word to describe the whole scene, suddenly. And not just a choir, but the entire heavenly host, and not just the entire heavenly host, but a great company of them. So if you weren't freaked out by the one celestial being, now the whole sky is just erupted into celestial beings, and they're all singing, and they're all, I imagine the closest thing I can get to is like, you're down in DC and it's the 4th of July and you're right underneath the fireworks and it's loud and crazy and there's jets flying across and there's sonic booms everywhere and these ginormous speakers playing music, like this huge just sensory overload is what I imagine. But not in a cacophony. Something about it all works. And something about it, like, it feels like nature is singing. It feels like the stars are pulsing. It feels like something in you is rising up and it is good and it is right and you want to say the words too. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. There's a whole choir up there with us singing. And Bible scholars, I wonder if this is Isaiah 6. I wonder if this is that class of angels, those celestial beings who have the high honor of just worshiping God all the time. And if we were in student ministry, and we're not, but if we were, I would do a little side note of, imagine the scene in heaven, like you got angelic choir rehearsal, and so the angels show up, and they've got their choir music in their folder, and in the folder there's a little note that says, hey, location changed tonight. And then word gets around, and all the angels want to be there, and like, oh, it's tonight. And Fred, the angel who can't carry a tune, but he wants in too, is like, well, okay, Fred, you can stand in the back. Like, every angel, every celestial, this was a singular moment. And the message is peace. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. This is an invitation. This is a blessing. The celestial message, the divine message from the heavens to mankind. This is what God wants to say. And in this time that we are in, if you are in distress, if you are feeling tight in your soul, if there is something that is about to crumble, you are grieving, you are struggling, you are in fear, you have financial or family or relational or something going on. That divine moment is still present today, and it is still an invitation to you today. It is still a blessing for you today. Whatever it is that you need, there is peace. Not being blind, not being foolish, all of the issues that we have still exist. And yet somehow, walking through it with Christ, somehow the promise is peace. Verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. He skipped over a whole bunch of things there. Okay, first of all, there's still all the angels up there singing. Like, did they die out? Was there like a choir director goes like this? And everyone just kind of fades out and then twinkles. And then like, and then what happened to the messenger? Like, was he singing too? Were they, how did that? And in this beautiful worship, there must have been weeping tears of joy. There must have been song erupting. How do you get from there to the next sentence? Like, how long do you wait looking up at the sky? Like, you're a bunch of manly shepherds and you're all sniffling and ugly crying. And how do you make that transition? Hey, Joe, that was really cool, right? Like, that's really happened. There really were some guys who witnessed this. And this really did happen. And then they had to like, oh, yeah, I think we should go. I think we should go to Bethlehem. I think we should see this thing that happened. And by the way, there's this weird phrase. Put that verse back up. Verse 15. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. And every translation I checked, it always says this thing that has happened. It's weird to me. I don't know. I don't know that it means anything. I couldn't find anything that meant. It's just kind of weird. They don't say, let's go see the birth. They don't say, let's go see the baby. Let's go see the miracle. I have no idea what it means, but they really did say, let's go see this thing. Like they were too dumbstruck with wonder. They couldn't verbalize and they're shepherds, they're plain speech. They weren't going to be incredibly eloquent about it. I don't know what it means. Email me, jdurr@pathwaysbc.org. If you have a thought, if you have insight, I'd love to have this dialogue with you. What does it mean that the shepherds who witnessed this, who heard the message of a baby, and they say, let's go see this thing. Like they're a bunch of middle school guys like, dude, that was cool, man. Yeah, let's go do it. Yeah, man, dude, cool. As we finish the passage, I'll bring up the worship team again. Verse 16. So they hurried off, these shepherds, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, the Christ child, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what their shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I love that verse. In the middle of this singular moment in all of history, when the physical and the spiritual combine and everything changes then and now and forevermore, everything pivots at this point. Scripture makes clear to mention, and Mary. She was holding close. She was thinking. She was pondering. I don't know what it means, but I just love that that's there. Like, there's no way to grasp the fullness of it. There's no way to grasp what it actually was. It's just something to dream about and to talk about and to share. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. In this Advent season, may you revisit again the hope and the joy and the invitation that is Advent. This is the waiting. This is the delicious part of hoping and expecting and laying before God all of that which we need and want and recognizing all that He offers and gives. Our hope is in Christ alone. And to that I say, Merry Christmas. Let me pray. There's no way those poor shepherds knew what was coming, God. You just came out of nowhere. I love that. I love that you knew that moment for centuries and millennia on end, and you chose a day. And it's probably not December 25th, it doesn't matter. You chose a day. There was a day when Jesus was born, and you chose that day. And those shepherds just happened to be there, and they had the honor of being in Scripture. I love how you visited upon them blessings and hope without them earning it, without them being deserving of it. They just were normal, everyday people. I love how this message, how this season doesn't have conditions upon it. It's just you offering hope and joy. It's just you saying, I'm here with you. I want to pursue you. I am your Father. I am your God, and I want to be with you. I find that you should be doing God things. You should not be here with me as I worry about this or that, as I offer you the smallest of my concerns, as I offer you the most menial of my thoughts and my worries. You should be doing God things, huge things, but you take the time to spend it with me, with us. And my small soul, my small mind cannot grasp that. We worship you, God. I so wish to have been there in that moment with that heavenly host, that great choir. And my soul, our soul lifts up, God, and we want to sing and worship with you. For all of those among us who need you, God, who need this hope, who need this joy, we ask that you would bless them 1,000-fold. That you would move us and the church and the kingdom to be there with them and for them and through all this. You are our hope. Thank you for coming.